us. If you are a guest this morning, welcome. We are so glad you are here. We'd love, love, love to have you as a part of this wonderful family of faith. Everybody needs a family of faith in these days.
Yes,
believe
yes,
you me, we need each other desperately.
Yes.
So this is a great place with really good people, and we'd love to welcome you into this family. By the way, we're going to receive an offering here in just a few minutes, and we've kind of changed the way we do it, you know, in this season. And instead of passing buckets like we've done for so long, we're, you know, using our cell phones, right? There's some good reasons for those cell phones.
Yep, that's right.
So text New Song Louisville, all one word, to 77977 through PushPay. You can easily give. And we give a tithe to meet the needs of the church, but we give above that to meet the needs of missionaries and ministries all over the world. As you came pulling in today, you saw a big old RV out there that is the mobile clinic for Beside You for Life. Literally, week in and week out, that mobile clinic is pulling into neighborhoods all over the city and saving the lives of unborn children. Can you give God praise for that?
That's
an awesome thing. And when you hear the testimonies and you hear the stories, and I've told you my little story, we were standing outside the abortion clinic in downtown Louisville, a group of us pastors praying, and we were praying specifically for that clinic and for every couple that went into that clinic. And as we were in the circle praying, a young couple got out and walked in, and we started praying for them.
Yeah.
And it was the most powerful thing, because just a few minutes later, they came out of that clinic, walked over to our circle, and said basically, "Thank you for praying for us. We've decided to save the life of the baby."
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And that's the
wonderful
kind of thing that's happening with Beside You for Life. And we've got some great ministries we support here all over the world, making a difference. So our goal is 48,000. I think I checked this week, we're at 36,000 thus far into the year. Let's don't give up. Let's keep pressing, and let's see that goal met so we can be a blessing to nations and generations with the good news of Jesus Christ. This morning, as we go to prayer, as we pray over our giving, I want to mention a few other things quickly.
Mm-hmm.
One, it was brought to my attention today. Mike and Casey are some real life heroes back here.
Mm-hmm.
And they have really poured their hearts out in foster care ministry. You guys have amazing hearts. And I'm so sorry. I just heard this morning the heartbreaking news that little Ivory, who's been with you since she was born, really, is being taken back. And we're just covering you guys in prayer and praying for her. And thank you for the way you're loving all those precious children. You guys are the hands and feet of Jesus, and we're really blessed by your hearts. It's school time. Kids and teachers and administrators and, you know, are going back to school. Our academy here hasn't started yet, but I think Jefferson County started this past week. We want to pray for the kids and the teachers. Listen, COVID-19's resurging. Lots is happening in our community. And I know everybody has an opinion, right? Everybody has an opinion about masks and vaccines and all these different things. I saw a post from a friend this week that said, "May God's grace be greater than our opinions."
Amen.
And that's where I settle. I read today in our daily reading, Paul said, "I'll become all things to all people to win a few for Jesus." Let's not allow the divisiveness of this world to get our eyes off the target and the goal of being the hands and feet of Jesus. Sometimes we unknowingly shoot ourselves in the foot by the silly things we say and do that, quite honestly, aren't that important.
Yeah.
Let's be careful. Let me read you a little something that really touched me this week. Very powerful. It says simply this. This was a tweet that I read this week. "While churches in the USA bite and devour one another over race, justice, masks, and vaccines, churches in Afghanistan are now in the sights of the Taliban." You know what? Sometimes just thinking about the needs of the world and what's happening outside our little bubble can help you come back down to reality. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, I know we don't like certain things and we'd rather have things a certain way, but I know this, at the end of the day, I want to be Jesus.
Yeah.
to you, to the people around us, to this community, to this world. Our witness is more important than our opinion. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to pray for those. Tracy said to me just a day or so ago an old friend we just found out just passed away from COVID-19. Not only that, one of the well-known pastors in Foursquare was just asking for prayer this week, and his son passed away from COVID-19. There's lots going on that we need to be sensitive about, and I want to be sensitive here in this church and make sure everybody feels comfortable and nobody is saying words that make people feel uncomfortable or drive people away, but we're being really sensitive. Amen. You hear my heart on that, church?
Amen.
And I want us to pray for Glenn, too, just to continue to pray for him as he's in the midst of treatment. So, amen. Let's pray together.
Yes.
Father, thank you for the opportunity to give today. We pray right now for your mercy, your kindness, your goodness, your comfort, Lord, to be extended to Mike and Casey in the midst of all they're walking through right now. Thank you for this couple and their amazing heart to make a difference in the lives of children, Lord, who are in great need. God, continue to bless them and grace them in that ministry. Lord, be with precious little Ivory. Watch over her and protect her. God, be with our school kids, Lord, those going back to school, whether they're going to public school or they're homeschooled or they're going to a private school, our teachers, our administrators, God, be with them, and may this be a fruitful year. May this be a year you protect them, you use them, you move and work in their hearts. God, have your way. Watch over all of our kids and teachers. Lord, in the midst of a resurgence of COVID-19, let us keep our eyes on the fact we're called to be Jesus to the people around us. We have a witness we need to guard, in the sense that we need to be sensitive and loving and caring and careful about how we share our opinions, our thoughts, and Lord, help us in this, Father, and be with the families that have experienced loss, Lord. Be with the families that have experienced loss. Be with those who are suffering, Lord. I heard this morning that Janine Harper's brother is very ill. I pray you'd touch him right now and bring healing to him in Jesus' name. Lord, be with Glenn. God, continue to touch Glenn and strengthen his body and heal him completely. And Lord, bless the gift and the giver today in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell us about this, honey.
Oh, we're excited. And we really appreciate you all stepping up. I mean, we just feel like it's your chance to be able to meet everybody. You know, we need one another. And you know what? It's your chance to be able to come to a service and then to serve in another service. And it's such a blessing to be able to do that. And right now, our goal is to help our kids and to bless our kids. So if you feel called to kids and you're like, I really want to get in there and make a difference, you just see Janine Harper.
Amen.
Yep.
Even if you don't feel called, maybe you get in there and you feel called.
Yeah. The Lord wants to stretch you.
Sometimes, you know, you got to take a step of faith and you got to find where
that
calling is.
Yeah.
So it's a great need. And in the midst of all that's happening here again, we don't want to let the ministry to our kids fall, you know. By the way, we got Growth Track coming back soon. We're excited about that. We've got some big news we'll be announcing to you next Sunday about small groups and some good things happening there. We are still having our free market small groups, so if you're interested in leading or hosting a group, there's forms out on the table, or see Pastor Bert. And we're excited about the new season of small groups that'll kick off the first week in September. I just got to give you a quick little tease. We're starting a new sermon series next Sunday. I've taken 2 weeks off. I can't wait to be back in the pulpit, preach the word to you. And I'm just going to give you a quick sneak peek. Here's where we're going as we move into fall. We're going to be asking the question to all of us, how big is your God? How big is your God? Get ready, because it's going to be good. And amen. We've got a soundtrack
it's
to
really
it.
Cool.
I love that.
I
didn't even know we had that, but that's awesome. Thank you for that. And you know what? This morning I get the chance to welcome Pastor Bert as he comes and ministers the word. And I always got to show some kind of fishing picture or some kind of fun adventure picture. Pastor Bert's actually kind of blending into the background here. You can see him. But look at all these fish. Is that a catch or what?
Oh, yeah.
Pastor Bert just spent a month, he and Carla, in Alaska. I think this is the biggest one here, and I think Jeff Stanley claimed that one. 40-some pounds, right? But anyway, we're happy to have him coming and ministering the word today. Give a good new song welcome to our very own Pastor Bert Moore.
Thank you for that wonderful picture that reminds me of some of the good things God does in my life, as he does so many good things. And isn't it great when a friend speaks highly of you? For granted so often when we talk to one another and we encourage one another that we just take it and let it and go over our shoulder. But when a trusted, good brother like Pastor Jeff gives me a word and a welcome and says he loves me and wants to care for me, what a breath of fresh air that is. So I want you to think about that a little bit this morning as we go forward, that that's the way the Holy Spirit has put us to sharpen one another, but also to encourage one another, to love on one another, and to move forward in that. So with that vein this morning, the Lord put on my heart to speak on the spirit of freedom, which we'll find in 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. So if you still are Bible carrying folks, you can look in your Bible for that. Otherwise, I'll have the scripture up here. Otherwise, you can use your phone or whatever device. But before we get started there, as you saw the pictures, that was a wonderful night of fishing out on the ocean. We went out around 7 or 8 o'clock, and that was what you saw there was about the darkest it gets there at about 1 in the morning. And we'll get 1 or 2 or 3 hours of darkness, and then it'll just be as bright and you're running again. So we cleaned, you get a mess of fish like that, you clean fish for several hours, and you fillet, and then you have a cook upstairs at 2 in the morning who says, bring some of those cod shoulders. Some of those fish were cod that were like that, and you could almost fit soccer balls down in the mouths of them. They were massive. Someday I'll get into more of this. This isn't where I'm going this morning, but at 2 and 3 in the morning, we're sitting up there eating fried cod and French fries, and I know that's so unhealthy sounding, but oh so good, oh so good. After a long night out there, it was 10 o'clock. I remember 10 o'clock because Mike, our captain, he says, you know, folks, I don't fish after 10 o'clock. About 20 phones want to go home. And about that time, a whale turned about 20 foot off the bow of our boat, flung up, and every pole we had went bent over. I mean, the whole boat went down. Everybody couldn't figure out whether to reel their fish or to watch the whale out there throwing fish everywhere as he rolled. And it was just a magnificent, for the next hour, it was just nothing but a catch fest. And I was the boat hand, and all I could do is bring fish in and re-hook and get people going. So it was a fabulous evening there. So it's real interesting when God allows you to go, you think, wow, vacation, lots of fishing, lots of things like that. But it's kind of like last October, I went and sat on the mountain of Wyoming elk hunting and thinking that the Lord had taken me there to give me a prize of an elk. And as I sat up there on that mountain, and we couldn't scare up an elk to save us last year, the Lord kind of laughed, as if you can hear him in your spirit, and he goes, so you really think I brought you here to bag an elk, did you? And the deep things he began to speak within my heart and my soul were so rich in the things that I needed to hear at that moment. The deep things that he began to speak to me, to speak to others that were around me, that they needed to hear if I listened. And he says, you have an opportunity. You can lean into this or you can miss it all. And same thing happened in Alaska as I went up there. You know, I went with one thing in my heart, that I was going to do some fishing, catch up with some people, marry one of the grandsons up there, and you know, just have a good time. And in the midst of this, the Lord began to do some deep things within me. He says, I want to work some things out of you, Bert, that are stuck, that you're just stuck. And so he began to do that. And can I say I didn't like the process? I did not like what he was doing at times. And he spoke some really deep things to me, which I'm not going to speak on today. But I want you to know that when the right time, he will allow me to do that. But in that, we had a great time, got to speak to a lot of hearts, got to catch a lot of fish, got to watch an eagle grow up there in the nest, which was from about here to the maybe the front door. I watched that baby grow for a month, and it was just a beautiful thing to see what the Lord was doing in the midst. And I did have one of those, Jesus, are you sleeping in the boat moments? Because this water is way too rough for an old boy like me. We were in 8 to 9 foot seas. I think they grow every time I tell this story. These seas get a little rougher. But every one of us in that boat were praying. It was an interesting moment. And I'm going, maybe this is what the disciples were feeling that evening in the boat. And take your eyes off the waves, and Jesus, are you there? There was one point, the captain, he says, Pop, he called me Papa. He says, Papa, are you praying back there or singing? I said, I'm singing. I'm past the praying, boys. We're into the singing mode now. Swing low, sweet chariot, because I need you to carry me home. So that's kind of where we were at that time. So let's take a moment and let me yield to the Holy Spirit, if you would, because you don't want to listen to me today. So, Heavenly Father, I just want to give you everything this morning, and I want to give you this body, this mind, this soul, this voice, dear Father, to come and work through as a conduit, as a culvert, or whatever, Lord, you want to use today in me. But may it not be me that come up, dear Father, but the heart of you for your sons and your daughters. In your holy name, amen. We watched where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So we watched this work out so cool in so many ways when we were in Alaska in the home of a family up there that we went up with, who are the kids. We call them the kids and the grandkids. But they do foster care as well, and they have a lot of kids come and go, and there's also a lot of chaos that comes and goes. When you deal with foster families, when you deal with schedules, chaos is just part of that. It can rule the day unless you turn it over to the Lord, unless, and so... this was part of what began. The Lord began to show me a few things while I was up there in Alaska. So we'll start here. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. How do I back up there, guys? Okay. What part of what we're seeing here, if you read before these, they really begin to talk about Moses and the glory of the Lord and the veiling of Moses' face, and how Moses could see the back end of God, but the people couldn't. But then when Corinthians, when he begins to talk here, he talks about now the Spirit of the Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There was liberty that day on the mountain when Moses went up for the people of Israel. Just like there's liberty today when we allow the Spirit of the Lord into our heart. And where do we get the Spirit of the Lord? So I'm going to try to break a little bit of that down today so that we can understand what is the Spirit of the Lord, how do we get the Spirit of the Lord, who is able to get of that. So what is the Spirit of the Lord? I'm trying to figure this thing out. Sorry, guys. What is the Spirit of the Lord? The Spirit of the Lord is the gift Jesus sent to us who all believe when he went to the cross. It's a gift. The Spirit of the Lord. Jesus told his disciples on that night, he says, when I leave here tonight, I give to you the Spirit of the living God. And some of this I'm paraphrasing. Who will teach you and bring to remembrance all things in you. Here's a gift from you. I cannot stick around in the front, be faced because I have a mission to complete. And in that I will give you the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is the breath of God. The scripture talks a lot about the breath of God and where it comes. The Spirit of the Lord is the Holy Spirit himself. That is the comforter. That is the paraclete, the one that will come and be closer than a brother to you. The Spirit of the Lord is the presence of God in your lives and in situations. The Spirit of the Lord would be the Holy Ghost, as he's been referred to in many churches. The Spirit of the Lord is your healer. The Spirit of the Lord is your redeemer, your counselor, your advocate. The Spirit of the Lord is the peace, joy, and love in your life. He is truth. He is grace. The Spirit of the Lord is righteousness, your salvation, your shield. Do you get kind of where I'm going here? The Spirit of the Lord is the I am in your life. I am what you need right now. He is the one that will meet you at that place. Who can possess the Spirit of the Lord? All who recognize Jesus Christ died on the cross, ask him to forgive their sins, and recognize him as their Redeemer and Lord and Savior. Who give up the rights as a human and go, Lord, this is yours. My heart is your heart. You are mine. This is available to us. It's something we take for granted. It's something we know, but I think it's a tool we don't use. It's a tool we really, it's there if I really need it, and it's really good for those that stand in the pulpit and have that special blessing. I hear that all the time. Well, you're a preacher. Of course you have that. You're a man of God who spends a lot of time in the Bible. Of course you would. That ain't what the Word says. The Word says that all who have confessed the name of Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, automatically receive the Spirit of the living God, the breath of God in there, the freedom, the liberty. What does liberty mean here? Liberty means freedom from restraint. Liberty means an application to the body or to the will or mind. The body is at liberty. It's not confined to the things of the world. It's not confined to flesh. Flesh is confining. The Spirit of God is freeing. The Spirit of God is open and it's pure and it's holy to all who will accept. The Spirit of God is free. It's so free that it's hard for us to get a hold of how to get a hold of it. It's too simple. You're saying, all I have to do is accept Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I get this whole package. That's it. No strings attached. We're a suspicious people. We're a suspicious tribe. We keep our, at least I do. I'm more so than some, but I think we all are to an extent. We keep our guards close. We don't want to let people see too much too quickly. And in that, we find ourselves losing out on many things that the Lord has for us. And we need to figure this out. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But what does liberty really mean? There's freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the chains of this flesh, the chains of this world, the chains of what's going on around about us. We no longer have to be under the constraints of this world and what the enemy has put upon us. We no longer have to let chaos rule in our homes. We no longer have to have the spirit of anger that used to arise in me whenever it felt it wanted to. When it thought, and I know why it did it, the spirit of anger would arise in me when I got fearful, when I got stressed, when I got nervous and didn't want to be embarrassed. See, I covered everything with the spirit of anger because I didn't have to explain nothing to you because nobody wanted to get inside this area here when I held my anger out here like this. And so keep that in mind that when you see those things in me, you can see there's a couple of things that will check. You can check boxes right away. He hasn't spent enough time with God. Him and God are not where they need to be. And God didn't move. Bert moves. I'm a moving target continually. And God says he's got a homing device if he wants to, but there's always this place that I can come back to and land. And it's right there where he will, with outstretched arms, forgive. I love the prodigal father picture. He even runs to me when he sees me coming. I mean, he comes afar, and he has people out there looking, and he knows all where I've been, and he knows what I've done, and that really doesn't bother him. He's still with my stink, with the slop all over me, how filthy I am. He's still there to wrap those big, loving arms around me and whisper in my ear. There's nothing like the love of a father as he speaks softly in your ear. I don't know that a lot, but I do remember it a time or two. But I do know the Heavenly Father does it, and I really know that. I do get that a lot. There is such freedom in this. So in the middle of this, last night about 2:30, 3 o'clock, I'm stuck in this dream that just continues to roll through my head. And they're irritating. I don't know if you've ever had those dreams, but I just could not get out of it. It was almost like Groundhog Day over and over and over. And in this dream, I was carving out the scripture, a scripture. And I could see the words written in this kind of a log, I guess. And I had a sharp knife and a scripto knife, and I was carving the words out. And then I came, I don't know whether it was to my senses or maybe I partially woke up, and I'm going, this is hard. This is, to get this word out of there is difficult. And it seemed like a word that I have for today. And then I fell into it, and I'm going, how do I get this? And surely you don't have to do this to get the word. And it was just one of those disturbing things. I know the Lord was speaking to me, and I'm not sure exactly everything was, but there was one verse, several verses that came very clear to me. And I actually got up and woke up, and I grabbed my phone, and I said, I'm going to forget this if I don't write this down. So I actually went to my notes, found my notes. I think I disturbed my wife, actually. I don't know if she remembers, but she stirred over there because this video I had on kept coming up. And I couldn't get off of it, and it kept talking, and so I finally and I went back to it, but it was Romans chapter 8 and 9 through 11, and I don't have that up here because I got it at Glenn would not have been real kind if I'd have sent that to him at 3 this morning. So put this in my notes, brother. And I'm gonna read 9 through 11, but as I was standing here this morning, the Lord says, don't forget to read 8 for him too, because it was so profound for me. So verse 8 says, so then those who are in the flesh, and it's like he's speaking this to me, for Bert, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Wow, what does that mean? That means if I'm out of the Spirit, if the Spirit of the living God isn't upon me, and I'm walking in my will and the way I want it to all walk out, that I can't please God in that. Ouch. Ouch. Don't I have rights, Lord? Oh, he says, yeah, I give you lots of rights. He says, I give you lots of space. But if you're walking in your flesh, that means you're not doing what Jesus said, that those final commandments, you know, when they tried to trip him up, and they said, Lord, what's the most important commandment at all? He says, hey, I got a new one for you, a couple new ones here. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. And then he says, let me add, love your neighbor as yourself. Man, that just pulled all my flesh out of this. I just lost all my fleshly rights in those two sentences, so to speak, that Jesus spoke. And it makes so much sense to me, because growing up, I did not like the Ten Commandments because I couldn't keep them. Anything I can't keep, I don't like. You know, like that. So I was done with that, but Jesus says, Bert, if you like this and you can do this, this takes care of the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God. So if I love the Lord my God, I'm not chasing the neighbor lady. If I love the Lord your God, I'm not stealing Jim's gun. Because he's got a nice gun. He's got a nice dog, too, to go with that gun. If I love the Lord your God, I'm not coveting. I'm not going to murder my neighbor. Because that wouldn't make him happy. That wouldn't be pleasing. But there is some catches in there. But love your neighbor as yourself. I'm not always good at loving my neighbor. None of you guys are my neighbor, right? You're all my neighbors. So I read that. So then let's go on to verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. The minute I have Christ, I am in the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his, is what he's saying. And if Christ is in you, this old body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit of life becomes of righteousness. So now the Spirit of life is alive and well and moving within you. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, because he just said it does, if you've accepted him, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And I just proved to you that you can possess the Spirit of the living God. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, it's a gift. It's yours. Romans proves it. If you believe the Bible, it's a done deal, right? Right? All right, now you get to start using it. You get to start applying it. You get to start being a part of that. And this is what we call freedom. This is what we call liberty. This is what we call, just because someone wants us to do it a little bit different, we don't have to get all cranked about it. We just find a way to navigate through this. This doesn't mean because everybody else is angry that I can't walk in freedom. So Carr and I, like I said, we stayed in this home that was doing a lot of foster care back and forth in the chaos. And one day after church, the couple had got into a lively discussion with one another. And lively discussions with couples when you're in their home, it's difficult. It's just hard. I mean, you don't know where to go. Should we leave? Should we give you some time? Should we send you to your room? What do we do here, you know? And on the way home, I believe I heard the Lord say, I want you to talk to them and see if you can pray for them. I said, okay, I'd be glad to do that, Lord. So on the way home, I let Carr know, and I said, hey, I think the Lord wants me to pray for them. She says, I think that'd be a good idea. And so we get there, and we're doing lunch, and it's tense, and And there's a lot going on there. And I say, hey, guys, when things settle down, you get the kids down for a nap, I believe the Lord wants us, can we talk and can we pray? And I got a okay from one. And finally, I looked over at the other one. I said, yeah, you can do that. About then, all chaos broke loose. I mean, from one end of the house to the other, things broke loose and it got wild. And so I said, well, that's kind of the way things go when you head into these. So we let things go. It was about 40 minutes, and I thought they pretty much forgot. And I was waiting for one of them. One of them was going to go to Walmart because they needed diapers or something. And I thought, boy, if they get out that door, this prayer thing's over. You know, it'll be forgotten in the past. So before they kind of got the kids laid down, they're still at odds, and one's over here doing their thing on their phone, the other one's here doing something, and Car and I are kind of looking at each other. All right, Lord, is this a good time? So I says, hey, now might be the best time that we could do the prayer, and do you mind coming to the table? So they came over, and I said, can I have authority in your home for this? Yeah, they were glad to give up authority for a few minutes. So they gave it to me, and I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for the peace of the living God here, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to escort anything that doesn't belong here out. And I explained about when some foster babies go home, they go home to the pits of hell, actually. And I said, when they come back, they bring in, just remnants of where they went. It doesn't mean they're possessed. Some of them act like they are, but a lot of times they're just oppressed, and they bring things. And so I think they understood that. I know they understood that. So as I'm praying, and I'm Lord, bless this home from the north, south, east, west. We ask the Holy Spirit to walk through it from the top of the roof to the foundation. And we're doing nothing special except calling upon the Spirit of the living God. We're sitting there, and there's a door slams upstairs, just as I had said. And Holy Spirit, escort these things out. I mean, this door slams. It's the loudest. I had heard this from the time I was there till we left. And so I kind of squint and look at Carr, and she looks at me, and we know what's gone on. So we finish up, and the man looks at us, and he says, well, I guess he heard you. He left. Did you hear that door slam? I said, boy, did we. And so we all conferred that the Lord had been present. So we watched that day. Things didn't get better automatically. It took a little bit of time for them to still work through the residue. But as the weeks went by, things got calmer and calmer and calmer. And we begin to realize that to wherever we go, we can give away the Spirit of the living God from us to them, from us to you. And what was really cool is this little baby, one of the little babies there, when we first got there, they says, he's mute. He doesn't talk to anybody. It wasn't 2 weeks with my wife there holding him, praying over him, loving on him. He was saying words to her. She was given the Spirit of the living God, and it went right to his soul. This little fellow would get up, and he's about that tall, and he's as round as he was tall. He was just this little butterball dude that came downstairs. And when he smiled, the smile overtook his whole face. His eyes even squinted. I mean, his smile was so big when he saw her, when he saw me, when he knew he was just going to get hugs. And there was nothing expected, you know. And so it was so cool to realize at that moment that we've always known that you can give away the Spirit of the living God. Who can possess the Spirit of the Lord? I explained that a couple times now, and I want to continue. We all can. Anyone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, it's yours. Now, what are you going to do with it? It's going to be one of my next questions. Can we share the Spirit of the Lord with others? Absolutely we can. If I come in the office on a Monday and I'm in a nasty mood and I get in your face, man, what did I just share? I just shared some nasty stuff. If I come in and I'm gloom and doom, I just shared, I just took the air right out of the room. But if I come in here and I share the freedom of God, if I share, hey, God's been really good, and this is what God spoke to me today. And as I go through this room this morning, you may just need a little bit of faith, a little bit of something, and I give you the Spirit of the Lord. I give you the Spirit of the Lord. If you need this just so you can find your own for a moment, because it's there, but you may not be applying it. Borrow from me. Borrow from the neighbor. Pastor Jeff and Tracy, can I borrow from you today some of the Spirit of God? Because I find myself in the gutter at times. And I just need somebody to give me that nudge. You ever have a battery in a car that's not totally gone, but it just needs a little bit, just that extra amp to get you? That's exactly what's going on in your spirit. Doesn't have to. Nowhere's in the Word except we're human. And here's what I found out really good on the island in Kodiak. If you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, keep your mouth shut, Bert. If you're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, go find a place to rest for a while. If you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, go find something to eat. If you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, walk away and get yourselves pushing on each other at times. The best of husband and wife, lovers, can find themselves pushing on each other with lively discussions and trying to figure out. And we need to know that the Spirit of the living God is there and available. We can draw upon him. So I want you all to know today that if you need some of the Spirit of the living God this morning, find a friend, find someone in this room, find someone that you trust, and ask if you can borrow a little. And part of that's just praying. Part of that's just having somebody hear your story sometimes. Part of that's actually saying, hey, I need some of the Spirit that is within you. And we've got to learn to do that. If you go away from here and you go the same as and never pick this up, shame on you. Because this is like having a credit card in your wallet and you're out starving if you don't use it. This is like having cash in your pocket and you haven't eaten for days, but you don't want to let loose of the cash, and there's a hamburger stand there, you know, because the Lord will replenish this. The Spirit of God says, I will come, and he will teach us, and he will bring to remembrance all things. My girls, who have both went through college, this is something the Lord gave me to give to them. I said, why do you continue to fight? You guys study hard, you study long, I said, just ask the Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance and bring back the knowledge, because you've already put it in there. Test anxiety comes, fatigue comes, you know, worry comes. Just ask the Holy Spirit to refresh these things within your mind and your heart, and he will. He is true and just to come. So I leave you that you can share this with others. And why would you think otherwise? Some would think, I can come into a room and share the spirit of anger. I can spew all over, and I'm good at that. Well, also think that you can come in and you can give blessings. Also come in and know that you can give great grace. You can give love. So let's err on that side more. Let's start beginning to practice that within this body. Within this COVID season, within this time of life where everybody's pushing. Everybody's pushing our buttons and pushing an agenda. But if we all in here could begin to share the love of Christ, to share the Spirit of God, and I don't have to have my way today, you have your way today. I hate masks, I do, but I go into a store and they say, sir, you need to wear one of these? Okay, I'll put it on. And I get to choose whether I'm going to go in the store or not. And most of the time I'm there for a reason, so I go about it. So I can fight it, but I can also just wear it, go get done what I want, and then, you know, maybe I'll order online the next time. Maybe, who knows what I'll do the next time. But I don't want to be at odds continually. because that gets tiring. That gets exhausting. That is not what Christ has asked us to do. So I leave you with, and I challenge you this week with, go out and see who you can share the Spirit of the Living God with this week. Today, this afternoon before we leave here, will there be somebody that we can give a good word to? And if you need any of mine, come on up and ask, and I'll sure give away everything I can spare. Because I know where I can go get refilled. Amen. Amen. So, Glenn, did you want to come and do a closing song? Let's all stand for a minute as Glenn works through the song, and we'll dismiss you. Blessed and glorified through your sons and daughters in your holy name. Amen. You are dismissed.